Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We have some breaking news in the NFL. And this is certainly a development that could very much shape the way this season is going to go. But Anthony Richardson's shoulder is okay.
Thanks.
He's going to be ready for training camp.
Ready to beat out Daniel Jones, huh?
Man, if we can't beat out Daniel Jones, I got to say, it's over. I mean, because in many ways, Daniel Jones is the mirror of Anthony Richardson. They're like looking at each other. It's like black version, white version, same quarterback. They both throw picks. They both do stupid stuff. But they have moments where it's like, damn.
Well, one got a playoff appearance.
One got it. But it
and a playoff win?
I don't think he got the win.
Oh, he did. They won that year, crazily.
They beat the Vikings, didn't they? And then they got destroyed by
That's how he got the contract.
Bro, a playoff win over Kirk Cousins doesn't count.
He looks at AR. He says, you ain't know what I've done.
He does look it.
I like your comparison.
I mean, I think there is a real possibility that Anthony Richardson loses his job, yes.
Daniel, one of the more athletic white QBs?
Most definitely.
Man almost ran for that touchdown.
Now, he had that, yeah.
But he was almost gone. He's a white speed.
He got tripped up.
Yep.
That's the thing, right? It's like, I think biologically, you know, white people are not supposed to run that fast. And so when it happens, it feels unnatural.
He saw himself up on that board.
That's right. And so he tripped.
Right. Because you ain't supposed to be going that fast.
You know you ain't supposed to be going that fast.
He's like, I'm floating. Soon start thinking that.
That's right. But I think he's going into this probably believing that he's going to win the job.
Of course he does.
I mean, and why wouldn't he? You know, I mean,
Anthony's done nothing.
Now, Anthony Richardson is that, like, even, you know, the other part of it, too, Jason, is like, even if he doesn't win the job, bro, he can always get it back. You know, like, if Anthony Richardson, for whatever reason, is a week one starter, bro, he will give that job back to you by week 4, probably. Like, it's not over.
Yeah.
Until he might get hurt. He might have a game where he throws 3 picks. Like, or he might have a game where he throws 4 touchdowns. I mean, he is an experience unto himself. But I did want to go ahead and pass it along before we got to the rundown that his shoulder injury is fully recovered.
Yeah, I've been waiting on it.
So congrats and wait on that indeed. Let's do the rundown. All right, we do actually have some real NFL news that will have an impact, which is Rashee Rice. Remember him? Remember he had the whole car crash last year? And it didn't matter because he got hurt and his season was His season was ended in week 4 with a torn ACL, but he was traveling at 119 miles an hour in a Lambo and then crashed on May 30th, 2024. One count of aggravated assault, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, and 6 counts of collision involving injury. He was sentenced today to 30 days of jail time and 5 years probation for his role in that crash. So the way they're going to do it is, he can serve that time anytime he wants, but he's got to do the 30. Mm. I wonder how, like, like, how do you break that up? Like, do you, like, say, all right, I'm going to do a week this month, and then, like, 2 years later, I'm going to do a week then?
He can just put it off all until the end of the season?
He can do it anytime he wants, yeah. He's got 5 years to serve 30 days.
Oh, dude. I mean, yeah.
So
you can go in there and just do weekends.
Right.
Some spots.
Is that what most people do? They do, like, weekends?
Some people keep their jobs. Yeah, keep their weekday jobs. Go in there and do weekend. You work.
Right.
If the judge
allows it.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume that the judge doesn't care. They just want him to do it.
And probably in this case, they're going to be super flexible with him just because of who he is.
So, like, when you go to, like...
Especially if it's his first offense.
This isn't prison, though, right? This is just jail. So he just, like, basically go to the county jail and just do, like, 5 days?
I'm sure that's the way they'll work it out. I don't know if you... Five days, a lot. You going to try to put it all together?
I mean,
I just said, if he's got 5 years to do 30, like...
So you just do, like, two at a time?
I don't know. Maybe he's a guy that wants to knock it out and just be done.
I think we need to ask him. I mean, how would you do it? You would do the weekends?
I don't know. Probably just try to get it done. Maybe after the season. I'd put it behind me.
Yeah.
For now, focus on football because you're about to be in camp.
That's right. I think I would probably do, like, yeah, I think a weekend seems fine. I would like, space it out. I'll just go for, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I'm done.
Yeah, I don't want to increase the chance of attack by being in there.
The longer you're in there, the...
100%, bro.
You could also do one day.
Everybody
at a time.
Ain't in. It might not be cool. Okay?
Oh,
just
for sure,
because you're Rashee Rice and all that.
Yeah,
and because you big and feel like you're in shape. Somebody might
totally
probably gonna be somebody in there gonna try to test you. And the longer you stay in, and again, I try to stay away from that brother.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I wonder, like, how do you set that up? Like, do you just tell, like, the people there, like the warden, hey, I'm gonna do one day today, so come get me after the day. Is all
no, I think the plan gets worked out beforehand.
Okay,
I don't know.
Like, I think I would do one day. I think I would do, like, one day a month.
That's going to take forever. That's
well, I know,
saying.
But
you're
I got 5 years.
Making trips, you're going to get tired of that.
That's true. 30 trips.
And your gal's going to get tired of dropping you off and all that stuff.
See, I don't.
So you got to at least do the 2 weekend days and get you some time off that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of nuts. Like, all right, you're going to jail. You got 5 years to do 30 days. Like, that's kind of
30 is a lot. He probably needs to stay in there even longer than two. Probably needs to toughen up and get you some weeks in.
Yeah.
And spread it out.
So obviously that's the criminal part of this, right? The NFL is going to suspend him. That's coming. Adam Schefter, is reporting that, the NFL will expedite its disciplinary process and that he will get a multi-game suspension, at some point. I think, 3 to 5 is kind of the precedent there.
I think I've read Ken Sid feels good about it.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, having him for the significant portion of the season.
Exactly.
You know, when they need him.
Exactly. If it's 3 games, whatever. I mean, they'll survive, you know. But they obviously missed him. They missed having him. I mean, they leaned a lot on Xavier Worthy. But they definitely did, they missed him when it came time. Is Big Bedford here?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with William Bedford, catch up with him, Hall of Fame induction, what he's been up to. Looking forward to it. The Tiger great William Bedford coming up next. Stick around. Jason and John, I just trying to FM ESPN.
His name is William Bedford, former Tiger star, center, number 6 pick of the Phoenix Suns in the 1986 draft. Played at Memphis from 83 to 86. We called it Memphis State then. Old little Jay Smooth was cheering for him in the Final Four. One of the program's best shot blockers, best bigs we've ever produced out of the city of Memphis. Don't ever forget, he's a Melrose Golden Wildcat as well. And as of next month, he will officially be a Hall of Famer. American Basketball Hall of Fame. He's going in Detroit, Michigan. Be a ceremony on August 17th. We are so happy and pleased for him just so grateful that you could join us. Brother Bedford, how are you, sir? You look great.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. I can't complain. I'm doing good.
But you look great. I'm always in awe of your presence. In your presence, you look really strong.
Well, I don't know how to take that one.
I don't think last time you were in here, you weren't married. We were just talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't married. You might have been cooking for yourself back then. Maybe you were having to go out and find your own meals.
Yeah, I was going out and find my own meals.
That's what it is. You look like you've made somebody very happy.
Well, they made me very happy.
Very happy. So you're a married man since we last had you in here. Is that correct?
Yes, very much so.
And that's the little, I don't know if we can talk about it or not. I think we
can. Yeah, sure. Stephanie Gatewood. Sure,
the lovely Miss Stephanie Gatewood, who all of Memphis knows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ironic that every time we go somewhere, we out to dinner or, walking somewhere, doing whatever, they'll run up to her and know her. Then people run up to me and know me. And then the same people know her. It's like, how come we never cross paths?
You guys are.
We never did cross paths, and we know the same people.
Y'all are a celebrity Memphis couple. I imagine anywhere you go, at some point, you're getting stopped, whether it's her or you.
Right, right. That's true.
I guess the other one has to be prepared for that, because that's what happens when you're a celebrity.
Well, it goes with if you're in the public figure, you know, you gotta be cordial and represent yourself as well as, you know, the organization you're from, or, you know, you don't be nasty to people, you know. It's like us. If we see a star or something we see on TV sometime, we're going to run up and act like groupies too. So,
yep.
I mean, I would. I've done it. So that's why I've always just, you know, I'd be cordial to people. I sign autographs, speak to them, take pictures. It doesn't bother me.
Tell us about your selection into the American Basketball Hall of Fame. How much did you know about it? Because I think it's been in existence since 2019 beforehand. And then tell us how they let you know.
Well, I didn't know anything about it until I got the letter first. And the letter looks like, it just doesn't look like a real letter. You know what I mean? It's like you're not expecting this kind of mail that says American Basketball League. It's wait a minute. And then it's telling me I'm being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm like, this not true. This paper ain't true. This mail ain't true.
So I called
a friend of mine named Jordan Queen, and he's actually the director of this American Basketball League. And I asked him, was this true? And he said, yes, it was true. And I was totally shocked. Totally shocked.
And so where is it? It's Detroit?
Detroit.
Yeah, it's in Detroit. Now, they have changed. They changed the dates from August 27th. They changed it to November the 9th.
Oh, okay.
I believe in order to get a chance for everybody to, you know, to make their plans and to get there.
Still going to be at the Charles Wright Museum of African American History?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it's going to be a different place.
Do you know who some of your fellow inductees are?
Yeah, I got Vernon Maxwell.
Oh, wow.
Alvin Robertson, he's in there. Quite a few other players and women.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, Vernon Maxwell. He's a character.
That's my dude.
It is.
My dude.
Does he have a podcast or something now, or is he a guest on somebody else? I always see him.
He does so much. He got his own podcast, plus he's on like thousands of us. So, you know, he's Mad Max.
Mad Max. Always was.
Always was. Always will be.
And still is, yes. Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't seem like he's changed that much.
Always will be. Good dude, though.
How about you?
Good-hearted dude.
How about you? You don't seem like you've changed in terms of that gentle giant spirit that you had a kind when you came in here back with a 17, 18,
that's
everything
right.
else. You could have been a guy that, I mean, you played in the NBA. You were the number six pick. We're coming to you. And felt that way. And maybe felt a way towards us, but you always seemed down to earth and relatable, and that doesn't seem like it's changed whatsoever.
Well, see,
and you seem settled now here.
Well, I think I'm like that because of my parents. I grew up with both parents, you know, and that's very unfortunate for a lot of people, but I grew up with both of them in the house, and my mom always told us how to be humble at all times, you know, because nothing is promised to you, and there's a lot of people out here that did not make it to the place where you are. You know, and it's a lot of them that won't make it. So be blessed and be humble that you are there.
That's a good word. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
You got to put that in a speech. Are you preparing your speech, your Hall of Fame speech?
Man, I've thought about so much. I've thought about so much in this speech. But I'm probably going to have somebody help me write it because there's a lot to say and you don't have a few minutes. But, I mean, it's a lot of people to thank. Along the way, now I see how people get up and do speeches at awards, and they up there so long because you start remembering all the people that had something to do with you being here.
Yep.
And you don't want to leave nobody out.
Right.
You know, because it's like, well, you didn't talk about me. Well, yes, I did. Time consuming, and then, you know, you rush to talk, and it's like,
yep.
Ugh.
Yep.
So you can't get everybody out at once.
So not to ask what the speech is going to be, but in terms of, like, what's one thing you absolutely want to have in there, whether it's a person or a memory or just...
I would really like to express to people how young athletes, whether it's basketball, football, or whatever, they look to go out and perform at the highest level. But when they don't, they go into depression or either mental illness. Stress leads to mental illness, you know, and that's running rapid these days. You look at all these guys that's coming out now going into the playing basketball at a young age. They're going in there under pressure to perform. Now, who's going to talk to these guys about how they feel after they don't have a good game? You know, who they're going to turn to? So I think they need. I think they need to have something in place to help all athletes, not just one or two. All of them.
Is that something that you dealt with?
I still deal with it. If I have something big going on, I have a lot of anxiety. Mm. It's like, you know, it's hard for me to just go out there and face everybody. Half the time I'll give it up. I say, no, I'm not going. I'm not. You know, I don't want to be in front of all those people. You know, it was very, very difficult to play in front of a lot of people. And especially when you're supposed to be the number one go-to guy, or you in there for a certain reason and you don't fulfill that reason, you beat yourself up for it.
Mm. What's brought you out of those times?
Because
you're right here in front of us.
Just teammates, coaches, other people that's been in my shoes before, you know. I kind of had a little guidance going away, but I didn't have nobody in front of me that did this before me. You know, I didn't have anybody that was a professional athlete before me, like anybody in the family or anything. So
right.
I think the ones that do, they should stick together and stick with these kids, man, because, I mean, they also have to perform like that because of their peers. You know, their peers give them the most stress, because if you don't make a free throw, or you don't do what you're supposed to do in the summer, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear that probably a couple of weeks, and it might become a yearly joke. So you got to learn to deal with that.
Who did you have around you when you get out to Phoenix? What, in 86 it was? You're the number six pick. Like, who was your circle back then when you're leaving Memphis to go out there?
Well, I had my agent's son named Kevin Merriweather from Indianapolis. I had him move out with me the first time, my first year in Phoenix, because I didn't know anything about traveling, packing, making appointments, being here, being there. You know, I didn't know anything about that, because coming out of college, you know, you're in the dorm. You go to class, you come back, you go to practice, right to the gym, and you come back.
Everything else you need done for you.
Yeah, everything is done for you. Everything is right here. So now you got to do things for yourself. Nobody is telling you you got to be here or do this, that, and the other. You got to put in your mind, hey, I'm in the NBA now. I'm responsible for everything.
And you didn't pick up a ball till high school, so it's not like this had always been the lifetime.
I didn't pick up basketball till I was in the ninth grade.
It was later, yeah.
In the ninth grade, I played 9th, 10th, 11th, and I went to University of Memphis, freshman, sophomore, junior, and got drafted.
And that's what I'm saying. And very quickly, this is your job now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You hadn't been playing it coming up 7, 8, 9 years old. Very quickly becomes your job and livelihood, something that you just probably thought, okay, this is fun.
Things happen so fast for me. I'm talking about, it was so fast that I was there before I knew it. Mm. You know, I'm in a practice and I'm sitting here like, I am actually in the NBA. And I was in Phoenix. And I was just standing there one time by myself, just looking around, and then Ed Pinckney walked up to me. He said, "You all right?" I said, "Man, I don't know." He said, "What's wrong? You okay? You sick or something?" I said, "No." I said, "We in the NBA." He just started laughing. So it's a picture of us standing up together laughing, but people didn't know what that conversation was. And he was laughing at me because he was like, "Didn't you expect to come here?" I was like, "No, I didn't." And ever since then, for that first year in Phoenix, me and Ed hung out a lot, talked a lot, and he was a pretty good guy.
Well, I mean, it was you know, one of your better years in the NBA as well.
Right.
And I wonder if like having somebody like that, and then maybe you didn't have that in Detroit, or maybe you did, I don't know, but it just feels like having that helped.
I think I had that best year because of Ed Pinckney and Larry Nance. Those two guys right there taught me a lot, you know. And Larry Nance told me, man, you got to run and play hard every trip of the train, not just once, not just twice because you done scored. Every time when the ball changes ends, you should change ends. And that taught me a lot about running. Now, the person that told me about being able to play and run like that, because I used to run all the time. I used to ride bikes. I used to do wheelies, all everything, all the way around blocks. But Coach Verdi Sales and Dorsey Sims both told me, all you have to do is outrun your opponent. Because they say most centers is not going to run up and down the floor as many times as you change hands.
Mm.
So I just took in my mind, okay, every time the ball change, I'm going to change. That's the third time I've heard it. And then it's like, you do that 90% of the time, the ball will be in your hands.
And you make millions of dollars.
So I was like, I want to dunk the ball every time then. So that's why I used to run so fast, because I wanted that dunk.
Well, tell us, you wanted that dunk, but tell us about this hitting three threes in less than a minute. What were the circumstances? You were a Piston. I think it was early 90s or around there.
Right.
Maybe late 80s. Right. Chuck Daly's the coach.
Yes.
How in the world is he letting William Bedford shoot three threes in a minute? What were the circumstances?
Well, you know how they always tell you, stay ready. You know, you always got to be ready. You're on the bench.
So you don't have to get ready.
I think I had been sitting over there probably 8, 9, 10 games, no playing, nothing. I was ready. I'd been ready. I stayed ready. So it's like, I think a minute and some left in the game, maybe a little more, and Chuck Daly was really pissed off at the whole 8-man rotation, really. He was really just, because they weren't doing nothing. They weren't playing well at all. And about that time, I think we were down 12, if I'm not mistaken, and he emptied the bench. Told all the guys, y'all come out, and he put us in. Now, I'm looking at him mad, and I wasn't past him. I was the last one to go in because everybody else jumped up. And I looked at him, I said, Coach, can we shoot threes? And he said, I don't care what the F y'all do. He was mad.
He was trying to send his message to the 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
So
after he told me that, I ripped them warm-ups off. I went straight to Lance Blanks. I said, Lance, bring me the ball. That's all. I said, don't pass nobody else the ball. He said, okay. He took the ball out of bounds, threw it straight to me. I pulled with the first three. Made it. Second three, he came down. We had a play called 15 and 19, which is the 1-5 to set the screen on the guard at the top. And the guard go off, you either roll or step back to the three. So I was stepping back to the three. I wasn't going to roll. So I pulled back one time, and he tossed it back to me. I pulled another one.
Going to make a statement.
Yeah, so Dennis fouled this. I think he fouled somebody. He fouled one of the centers on their team, a power forward. He could have been Nolan Polonese. And they go to the other end, and they miss the free throw. I take the rebound, throw it to Lance, and meet him on the other side of the court, on the wing.
You done ran down to get it again.
I get it again, and he gave it to me again. I pump fake Olin Polonese and Michael Cage, pump fake one time, one dribble, and pulled another three. And I hit that one.
And drained that jump.
Yep.
Three of three.
Hit that one.
November 6, 1990 against the Seattle Supersonics.
And then they called timeout, and Chuck put everybody else back in, and we lost.
Well, there is a I just have to ask you about this. There is a I don't know if it's a rumor or a recollection, but there was an article in 2022 about Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a story that John Wilfong came to visit you,
mm-hmm.
and that Dennis Rodman pulled John Wilfong aside and basically told him to tell you that you needed to grow up. Is that an accurate?
You know, I didn't learn about that till way later. I don't know if I was finished playing or not. I never knew that happened. Somebody told me. I think that came out in the first book Dennis wrote or something like that.
Okay.
And when I looked, I was like, when did this happen? You know.
Well, why would Dennis tell John? Why would he
not? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was like, when did this happen? Like, right. Who brought this up? And when me and Dennis was close on the team, me and Dennis talk about everything. He pulled me up, cussed me out, do whatever he had to do. He did it.
Right.
So why I'm thinking, why would he go and tell Wilfong this? You know, and me and him in practice every day, and we kick it every day after practice. You know, ride bikes. We got motorcycles, everything. We do. We talk. We hang out. You know, wait a minute. How did he tell you this? But I never addressed it. I never said anything about it because
– right.
I mean, hey, maybe I did need to grow up at that time. I was young.
Wilfong did come up there to visit you?
Yeah, he came to visit.
The other teammates?
I think he was there for a scouting, or they had somebody else coming in to try out. I'm not really sure why.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't just a special trip to come see me.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, me and him been going at it since high school.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. That's awesome.
How many of your guys from here did you stay close with, or did it sort of become everybody – going on about their ways and into their own life.
From
lives.
Here?
Yes.
Like guys on a team?
Sure. Whether and whether, you know, Dane and them reach, I guess Larry, well, all them. You know.
Well, my first year, I didn't get in touch with anybody. I didn't call them because I was still learning how to cope with being in the NBA.
You're supposed to go be a
traveling.
Man.
Traveling. Right. Yeah, I got traveling. Got to know when to be the meetings. And all. You got 4 games a week in 4 different cities. It's hard to keep up with anybody else. You got to keep your mind on exactly what your job is. Because you get fined the first minute you're late, and every minute after is $100. So if I'm late at 1 o'clock and then I still don't get there to 1:10, look at all that money I lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So we started being on time. You have to be on time. So I think I'm like that now. I always get there 10 or 15, maybe 20 minutes before time before I got to go in. Like today, how was I here? About 30 minutes before time?
12, 30, you said I'd be there at 12.
Yeah. So I'm always on time or always before time.
Well, if I can, I'm just going to reintroduce you. We're talking to the great William Bedford, who's going to be inducted into the American Basketball Hall of Fame later this year. Obviously, Memphis State legend. And I want to get your thoughts on the college game now, because last time we had you in here in 2018, NIL didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Revenue sharing didn't exist. It was all a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have made, who knows? You were a 7-footer, big man. You probably would have made $10 million in your college career.
In college, yeah.
And you probably, you know, who knows if you'd have finished it at Memphis or whatever. But I'm just curious, what's your stance on players getting paid? Do you like it? Do you, you know, where are you on it?
You know, I'm kind of 50-50 on the guys getting paid, you know, from NIL deals. Where I think it's okay at is because you're being able to help the kid and their family. Because let's face it, when your kid comes from home to go to college, home still has to take care of the kid. Even though you might have a scholarship, home got to still give you money for your toiletries and you got to eat and all that. So upon leaving then and you giving them NIL money, they'd still be more responsible for their own stuff,
mm-hmm.
how to grow up earlier, grow up faster. You know, because let's face it, you freshman year in college, you still a high schooler.
Yeah.
You know, still got the high school mentality. Now, as far as how I don't like it, it's because no player will stay put.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Prime example, Keith Lee, the University of Memphis. He will be, and right now is, the all-time leading scorer in school history. Okay? That's going to forever stand as long as those bricks are standing over there. You know why?
You're exactly right.
Because no kid is going to stay 4 years in school and build up stats the way he did.
Right.
It's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I kind of fault all the people that made that deal for the NIL stuff, because now the kids are not interested in trying to get to the higher level. They comfortable in college making this money. They buying Lamborghinis, Bentleys, Porsches. They buying all this stuff in college. You know, so why would I want to go to the NBA? I got enough money now to open up a business, own a car like I want to, buy houses, do what I want. I have that now. You know, and I take my hat off to the ones that stay humble enough to get into the NBA because they already have the money.
There are guys who turn down entering the draft as projected first rounders.
College. Right.
To go back to the
because they don't want to take the pay cut.
That's insane.
Yes.
It's insane that it's a pay cut to go to the NBA.
No kid is going to stay in school one place and build stats. Now, I think it's hurting the kid because you can't tell me you're going to leave this school and I'm going to go to the next school and I'm going to put up numbers. No, you're not the number one guy.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now you want to leave there. You and your parents want to leave there because they want to give you $10,000 more over here. Okay, you leave and go over there.
Right.
You still don't have the stats. I mean, what are we going to look at to say as a team that we want this guy? Because he can do this, that, and the other well. How are they going to know that?
So how do you judge the job that Penny Hardaway's doing when the job has changed, right, Bedford? You know, the job has changed in terms of chemistry now. Well, now it's all about paying. Is a guy happy? Does he have enough money? How do we judge the job that Penny's doing when college athletics has changed so much?
I think every year, everybody need to pat him on the back. For the simple reason is, he's never coached none of those kids before. None of those kids ever played together before. And you got a bunch of egos out there. And as young as they are, if you piss them off too much, they're going to leave and go somewhere else. You see, it's not like old school coaches. Old school coaches used to give you the blues, and you stayed right there and put up with it.
That's right.
And it made you better. It made you harder. Made you a better person and a better player.
Mm.
But now, you say something to me I don't like, we get into it, or I go to Ole Miss.
Out of here.
Or I go to Kansas, or I just leave here.
Oh, that's a guarantee.
It's crazy.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like for Memphis football right now. I know it's not basketball, but like they have this backup quarterback, this four-star kid who's a freshman who they paid a lot of money to be here.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not going to start. So is he going to leave after this? Like, you're giving $1 million just for him to be here for a year to not play, and then he's gone. That's a backwards system.
Because somebody else already want him.
Oh, for sure.
You just happen to be the one to get him this time.
Yeah.
Somebody else finna get him more than 100. More than that one little meal that he got. Yeah, they're going to get him more than that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you can't compete. It's tough.
Mm-mm.
It's tough. Like, you know, even, you know, when you came to Memphis, like, it was just like, this is a indoctrinated. You go to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that's
it. And now it's like Memphis kids are just like, they don't even stay here for high school. They leave and go to prep school.
That's what I'm about to come to now. That also hurt high school kids, because now they look at the colleges that's paying the money. Okay?
Yep.
And that's where they're going. Their parents and everybody's letting them go there. I don't care how far out of town it is, but you making the money, you can help send us some money back. You know, that's what they're doing. They're living off these kids. And this kid hasn't even fulfilled his dream yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't agree with it. I don't believe in a one and done. One and done, nope. They should stay and see. It was mandatory for us to stay, what, at least 3 years?
Was it? Yeah.
3 years, at least three.
Yeah.
It should be the same.
Well, it's the combination, right? It's the fact that revenue sharing money is exploding, and also the transfer rules have been completely stripped away. It's both, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. just sort of creating this very volatile, toxic, like, you know, the small schools, I don't even know how they exist, not the Memphises of the world, but, you know, like the Murray States of the world.
Right.
Because even if you evaluate your ass off and you get the kid as a freshman, he comes in, he averages, see ya.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
All these small schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and because the at least that year penalty would, like, you know, save that off, but now it's like any, you know, fair game.
Yeah.
So
I don't understand it, man. You know what? I think the rules are going to change again before it's all said and done. I think somebody is going to come up with something else.
Something that surprised me, I think, is how, and I'm just wondering where you're at on it, and it's a penny question, is how engaged he still is going into year eight with everything that's changed in college basketball, the nature of it now. You just had an All-American last year, finished second team, maybe All-American, and he's leaving you. You know what I'm saying? Going to not for the NBA, but for another school.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he's leaving you.
That's what I'm talking about.
But let's put ourselves in Penny's shoes, and you can do it easier than me. We've made millions, Bedford. Like, we got a signature shoe.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to be doing this. We could be on a golf course right now, living it up, and I can be on any golf course I want to. And he's coming back for year eight. He's coming back to do this again. Half the time, the media is criticizing him, or the fan base, or whatever else. Does it surprise you that he's still this engaged and still wants to do it with all of these challenges?
Yes, it does. And especially the way they keep trying to put him on probation for stupid stuff.
Just talk about it yesterday.
I'm like, man, Memphis and the basketball program is light. Whatever they did is very light compared to some of these other colleges. And we don't hear about that. I think people need to leave Penny alone, let him continue to do what he's doing, because the only reason he's still here because of the love of this city.
No doubt.
And the love of basketball.
It takes me back to Larry.
And how he wants to get these kids away from here and having a better place. Leave him alone. That's what I say. Leave him alone. Let him continue to do him. You know, at least those kids right there, you ain't seen, how many of those kids over there with Penny have been arrested for DUI? How many of them been arrested in any sting? How many of them been driving into? How many of those kids over there been in trouble, period? None.
Man, to your point, Alabama has some of that mess.
A lot.
Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, too.
I mean, that's football, but still. Like,
see, he cares about the kids, too. It ain't like he's just coaching. When he finished coaching, he leaves and don't talk to them. No, they go out to eat, have meetings. If he want to work out, somebody want to work out with him one-on-one. This is a head coach now. You want to work out with the head coach? You know, come on, he take time going to the gym with you. How many hours it take? It does not matter. His whole concept is getting you away from here being better as a person and as an athlete. That's why I say people need to leave him alone, because he go year eight and look at all the stuff he has to deal with.
Mm.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, the game flipped on him. There's no doubt it did. But I do think he's equipped to. He's built for it. So.
Well, he's got to be built for it now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's there.
Yeah,
it surprises me.
I was gonna say, like, we were talking about it yesterday. Like, if Penny ever stepped away, like that job is it's harder than it's ever been in some ways.
Right.
And it's always been a pretty hard job because they're, you know, it's pressure. Mm-hmm. It's a big time job. You get paid well. But now it's like you have to compete nationally with a budget that may or may not be national, you know? So it's the dynamic, you know, you used to be able to get every Memphis kid. Now that's gone. Right. So, like, you gotta really have some juice in that job in a way that you haven't had to have in the past.
Right. It's like a lot of people here ask me now, how come a lot of Memphis kids don't go to the University of Memphis instead of going somewhere else? And I told them, I said, the University of Memphis has one of the lowest NIL payments in college. So who's coming?
Well, it's not one of the lowest.
One of the lowest.
It can't be one of the lowest.
One of the lowest.
Now, who are you hearing that from?
Look it up. Look it up. You got the computer.
No, man.
You got the computer. Look it up.
I might just give it to you. You tell me where you saw that. It's not top 25.
We're not top 50 either.
Some people think it's top 50.
No.
You think it's one of the lowest.
One of the lowest.
$5 million a year is one of the lowest.
Who making $5 million on a team?
Not per person.
Who making $5 million on a team? Who making $2 million on a team?
I don't know if they have a $2 million guy. I think they have.
Right.
They got multiple million-dollar guys though.
Now what about the other guys?
Well,
other teams, other places.
Yeah, you're gonna have.
Now, you can name me some four, three, and four, five.
For sure, I would not push back on, like, Texas Tech's top is making like three to four.
Come on.
So that's in the Texas Tech is paying their athletes $55 million this year. Across all sports, $55 million. So, I don't know. I look, when it comes to that, I don't know how you can expect Memphis to compete.
No, you know, some of this stuff is mind blowing. Like, what college was that when bought the whole football team trucks?
Oh,
was that SMU?
SMU.
Somebody down in Texas.
Oh my goodness!
Whole team got trucks.
The whole team, they bought them trucks, Dodge trucks.
When when Clyde Wade pulled up in an Escalade, it was like a big story around here.
You remember back in my time?
All kind of investigation.
You remember back in my time how they did me about rental cars and cars I was driving from boosters? Remember that?
Well, I was a little boy, nine-year-old boy then. Who was investigating you? Who was coming all behind? What reporter was all after you?
Man, I wish I could think of this guy's name, but he really drove me in.
Was he at the CA?
Yeah. I think he was.
We'll have to do something.
I think his name was Ron something.
Ron Higgins?
Had blonde hair.
Oh, that's Ron Higgins.
Ron Higgins
on your ass, huh?
Man, that boy. We lucky we on the radio right now.
Ron covers LSU still.
Ron needs to.
He was doing his job.
Let me be quiet.
But
he
was investigating all them extra benefits you were getting.
He was an investigative reporter.
He was a complete. He. Listen to me.
We can speak freely.
Now, check this out. Yeah, let's speak now. Let's get with it. Tell you what he did to me. Phoenix, first year. You know, when you seen the picture in the newspaper with me laying on the bins and all that, a picture he had in my bed. First time I ever been in the pictures in the bedroom, commercial appeal, all that stuff, you know. So he come to me, follow me around for bank 2-3 days. Going out to eat, go to practice at my house, everything I did in the car. He did the whole thing like a documentary, right? And what I was believed to be told that it was for a positive reason. Uh-huh. It was for to show Memphis how good our athletes get and how my life was better and all that. This was supposed to be like that.
You would let him into the
exactly.
house.
Exactly. I let him in the house. I let him in the whole full-fledged everything. Because, you know, I'm from Memphis. I wanted our Memphis people to see I'm doing good away from home.
Yes.
Yeah.
At that time, I had a girl trying to put me on child support that it wasn't mine. Okay? When he come back, he plastered all over the papers, you know, showing my bins and all this stuff. Yeah, he facing child support. And look how he living with the $800 shoes and the bins and all that. Oh, man, he destroyed. That pencil destroyed me in that paper, man. Destroyed me. He's never, he turned that around so bad. So bad.
Did you call the paper and all that stuff? Or did you just say, forget it? I'm in Phoenix now.
Now see,
old Memphis lied to me.
There we go. Another veteran, I'm not going to tell you his name, but another veteran told me, you cannot beat that pencil.
because that ink, because that they got mm-hmm. more ink than you can.
Yeah, he said one veteran, and his name was Walter Davis.
Walter Davis, I remember that.
He told me, man, don't go back and retaliate saying nothing in these papers or talking to no news report about anything that you got a problem with. He said, because you cannot win with that pencil. He said, it's going to beat you every time. And then as time went on, I seen exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah. What about the mic? Is the mic as powerful as the pen? Because it's like media has changed in that way, right? Like it's less about the pen now, and it's more like the video and the mic and the podcast.
Right, right. But then that comes to, you got to get people to tell the truth. You know, how many people are going to come on there and start lying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things will start blowing up. He's lying. He's not supposed to be in there telling that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's changed a lot. Media's changed a lot.
Well, and athletes have they do their own thing now. I mean, you mm-hmm. see, so like Paul George got a podcast. All these guys have podcasts on their own, which is they're telling their own story.
Right, right.
So, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think it's smart to do. You cut us out. You don't need us to tell your story.
Yeah, you got
to
launch the William Bedford podcast.
You got a voice like yours, and you're a good storyteller.
That's what I was looking at. It's like all these podcasts, what about the radio stations? Do they still, are they in cahoots with each other, or is somebody, are they in competition, or what?
I think they're different. I mean, I think they can coexist, but like a podcast is the thing about radio that I think is always going to win is that it's live.
Right.
I mean, a podcast can be live.
But most of them are taped.
Yeah, you usually hear it later. So okay. They might be talking about something that happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago. It might not be as fresh, right? Like, radio is live all the time. So
I think that's
a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we love live television. We love live radio. We love live reactions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the magic of radio, I think, that podcasts can't capture. But a good podcast is, you know, no different than good radio, right? Like,
yeah, like you said, it's taped.
Yeah.
It's not live.
Yeah. But you got to we got to get you on a podcast, man. You got to launch your William Bedford podcast where you tell a story about the old days.
Yeah, I
and the new days.
I would love to have a podcast with set up, already set up with the TV monitors and all that stuff. But, you know, trying to get all that stuff together and putting the people in the right places is kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
But it's not hard to get guests. You can get guests 24/7 on to get a podcast.
Oh,
everybody wants to be on your podcast.
That's right.
But it's just that trying to get all of it together and the right equipment and get everything done at the same time and make sure you got it all right, edited right, and it's a lot of work.
You could, you have such a story, though, and you've already, I'm sure, inspired a great many. I mean, you've been through so much, and we've talked about it. You talk so openly and honestly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. About things you've learned, about not being ready, not being professional enough, about making mistakes.
Right.
I just wonder if that's not, I just listened to you talk about all the things that got to go to it. You just mentioned kind of having a anxiety thing. Sometimes mm-hmm. we see things as too big.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that same thing. I can really sort of relate to that. But there's so much for us to learn from you, it feels like, whether it's as a city or us as individuals, just listening to your story. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. If you're comfortable enough telling it, which it always seems like you've had been, man, the rest of it, brother, is just...
Well, I'm comfortable with telling. Yeah, I'm comfortable telling because, see, most of the things people know, like all the dirt and bad stuff, that's public knowledge.
It's been out there for a long time.
Yeah, it's been out there for a long time, and I got people that still want to ask me. I said, look, that was part of my life that was back then. Why are you still bringing that up now?
Right.
You know, that was 40 years ago.
Yep.
So, you mean you still bringing up old dirt from 40 years? Don't make sense to me.
Right.
You know, that was a part of my life I lived. That's over with. I'm into a different lifestyle now.
That's right.
You know, my kids are adults now, and I got a new marriage, and I'm doing other things that I want to do, you know.
You're not defined by that. You're living
not
your
at
purpose
all.
Now
not
in
at
this
all.
Life. I think that's awesome that you're at a peace.
Mm-hmm. I got my foundation going now, the William Bedford Jr. Foundation. I got that going, and what I'm doing is mainly – not only feeding the kids in Orange Mound, but feeding the kids everywhere. You know, we just can't just feed one group of kids and let the other one starve. And then also I'm trying to help with mental illness, trying to help people with distress and mental illness. I also have a power washing company to where I want to help the guys from Second Chance Act, you know, when they get rid of a new job and then they come in and start, you can power wash.
Because it's so challenging for them
simple.
To get something.
Right.
They
it's something simple, something you can look forward to doing until you move on.
Right, show that commitment, that consistency.
Right, right.
And it's, so what do you need for those things to get up off the ground? Where can folks help this foundation? You know, I mean, we all, in terms of it, it's not just a one-man thing. In terms of if we want to help you with these things, how can we?
Mainly right now, I haven't gotten everything together yet. Okay. Like, you know, but I do know you can donate, or, you know, I'm still looking for sponsors. Mainly I have my wife running most of this stuff, so.
It's going to be run tight then.
Yeah, so I just make appointments and talk to people and interview when I'm supposed to.
Can you get Golden Wildcats basketball back? I already know you're feeding Orange Mound and all that. You want to feed all of Memphis. I don't know, kid.
Well,
man, back in and Chris, when Chris Jones and Adonis were still there, they were still winning state titles.
The kids are going there. We went to that school because from the neighborhood, we wanted to go there. Wanted to go there and play ball.
Oh, yeah, and they still had it together. That's what I'm saying. Years and decades later. And Adonis, you know, Adonis was coming from over, but there was still some Orange Mound up in there.
It's not many.
Markel.
6'2", 6'3", 6'5", guys around no more.
Well, that's because all of y'all, and that's what I've always said, is you and Keith didn't have enough kids.
I got enough, trust me.
Yeah. Well, we don't produce the 7-footer anymore.
No, we don't do that.
Well,
we haven't. He might be the only one. Because
y'all were coming out left and right there for a minute. We were producing bigs left and right.
Yeah, it was for a while.
Even Cage in West Memphis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, them too. Then you got to look at the Lawson boys.
They're basically 7 foot.
Yep.
I mean, with the length.
Keelan was the last. I don't know if we make them anymore over 6'7", 6'8", anymore coming up. Oh, there's one at Bartlett, though, DJ.
Who?
This kid, OKOTH. He's blowing up. He's going to be a sophomore at Bartlett, 2028. I want to say.
Well,
DJ Okoth.
If he's as good as
you
say
he is.
Right
now, I don't know. He's not a big, but he's a wing.
What about little Fred?
He's not a big.
Fred's interesting.
Fred's real interesting.
He's not a big, though, right?
Man, Fred got the whole package.
I know, but he's like, he's 4-star.
He can play big. He can play 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
See, that's one Memphis got to get.
It feels like he's locked in. Like,
I mean, first of all, his name is Fred Smith, okay? He has to go to Memphis.
Listen, that boy's going to do damage wherever he goes.
You're that high on him.
I've been watching him
train and work out since he was 8, 9 years old. I've been watching his dad work him out in the garage that long.
His dad can still dunk. It's crazy.
At 100 years old, he still can dunk.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Man. He had the hops. He's always had them.
I hope Fred Smith Jr. is like a multiple-year player.
Yeah, his son, he's serious. I think, now let me tell you why I think he's going to get real serious and real hard at it when he's by himself. When he stop having a lot of people, do this.
Well, that can always be the challenge, right? I mean, we talked about that.
By the time he gets on by himself, he's going to have to, all that stuff is going to work. Because you've already instilled all that into him. So when he go away from you, it's not like he going away if you mess up. He's gonna go away and make you proud. Trust that.
Love it.
That's the kind of kid he is.
Let's get it done. Well, man, this has been great. We did a full hour. It feels like 15 minutes.
Y'all made me late to my doc's appointment.
Oh man. No, you made yourself late to the
Jason wanted to start talking.
I did. I always want to ask you about the old days.
We could.
How in the world you made that many threes? It sounds like you could play for Boston right now.
That's
right. 60 a game.
Man,
you'd fit right in.
Do you know if I play in the NBA right now, my first contract that I would ask for would be $106 million for 3 years?
Porzingis. William Porzingis.
I kill him.
Well, yeah.
I kill him.
he took himself out of that series. I don't know what he got. Now he's in Atlanta.
Oh, what about your boy Chet? He'd give you the blues.
No, sir.
And yeah, he you like him.
He's on your team. They're different now.
Listen.
He go right around you.
Please listen. Please listen. They can't hold me in the elevator.
That's like when Lionel told me.
Chet would not be able to guard you, but I think he would definitely be a challenge for you.
Well, he would. On offense, I think.
He's going to bring you out there.
Yeah, I'm taking him out there, too.
Okay. But, we just got a shoot-off.
He was doing it in 90.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't
you
care.
Started the, you start In many ways, you started.
But you know what? This what puzzles me, and I look at it all the time. It's like the year I was out there shooting three-pointers and I used to come out and practice three-pointers before the game, people, you're supposed to be in the paint. You ain't supposed to be out
there. Flipped it on
right.
Hold up. You're a 7-footer. You get in the paint. You don't need to be out there. Because Ralph Sampson started all that, remember? Mm-hmm. So, how about the year I leave, the following year, here come Dirk Nowitzki, and y'all saw the old glory of 7-footer shooting threes. That killed me.
All of a sudden, it's cool.
That
and it's the
killed
thing
me.
To do, and it's
the
uniform.
Next year, he come in shooting threes, and you went, holy glory. Here go a guy that can shoot three-pointers, and he's a 7-footer.
Yep.
I just tried to show you that.
They weren't ready for it, Big Bedford.
So, he took
they
a year?
Time.
They took a year.
They weren't ready.
They took 1 year to get ready.
You were ahead of your time.
You really were.
Man.
They really did y'all wrong back then, man. They didn't really let y'all cook.
I don't think it's doing wrong. I think that's all they knew.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? In those times, things were a lot slower and technology wasn't like it is now.
That's right.
I think it was just.
There were no.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.